Now, I wonder if you could turn with me in the Bible to the Epistle to the Ephesians and to chapter 6. And we're going to read from the 13th verse of the 6th chapter of Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, and beginning our reading at verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of the faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that ye might that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And we know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just unite together in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee we can meet with thee afresh as we come around thy word. We pray that thou wouldst draw near to us. We pray that thou wouldst teach us thy truth, teach us, lead us into all truth. We pray, our God, that thou wouldst instruct us and help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Be with us here, we pray of thee, for it is in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. My text is verses 18 and 19. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, the passage that we want to look at this morning is a very well-known passage. It is Paul's description of the armour of God and how we need to be clad in that armour in order to stand against the wiles of the devil. But I want you to see that having been clothed in the armour, Paul now takes it a stage further. And he says, with the armour, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, there are those that would take prayer as another part of the armour here, that like the helmet of salvation or the breastplate of righteousness, that we put on prayer as well. But I think that really what the apostle is getting at is that these different parts of the armour are all to be put on with prayer. Prayer will go along with every other part of the armour. There is a hymn that really sums up the situation and I think really gets to the heart of it. It's the hymn by George Duffield. Now, it's a little bit different, this that I'm going to quote from what's in our hymn book, but it is one of the versions that is quite well known. You think of the hymn, stand up for Jesus. And it says, stand in his strength alone, put on the gospel, or The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. And it is those words, each piece put on with prayer. And what he's saying is that the armor is given to the child of God, but prayer is of supreme importance. The armor's not going to be very much good to us unless it is bathed in prayer. But having emphasized the need of prayer, I want you to see what Paul prayed for here. He speaks of supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And given the context in which those words are spoken or written, I think that they underline the importance of those petitions. If he's speaking about the prayer that we are to offer when we come to put on the armor, then as we see what he wants us to pray for, I think that those petitions take on a very great importance for us. What was he praying for? What was he praying for in the church? Was he praying for money? Was he praying for buildings? Was he praying for new people, new families in the church? Was it success or miracles or healings? Well, I'm sure those things were things that concerned him. But that's not the first thing that he prays for. He prays that utterance may be given unto him, that he might open his mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's the central thing. Now, in this day in which we live, there are many emphases as far as the work of God is concerned. It used to be that when you enter an evangelical church, that you would be much more or less guaranteed that it would be much of a muchness, that there was that emphasis upon the word of God, there was that centrality of Christ and his sacrifice and that proclaiming of the glory of God. Now you go into many places and it has become all about the people who are in the pews and meeting their needs and making sure that everything is so set up that it's not going to offend them or it's not going to put them out in any way. And it becomes a very man-centered kind of worship. Of course, others then have a different thought. They want to glorify God, and their first thought is what God is to receive, what God has laid down in his word. And while that might seem strange to the unconverted who come in many ways, they recognize there's a mystery about this, and it might seem strange, but nevertheless, there is that difference in emphasis. Well, I think that as we look at what Paul prays for, as we're in the fight and in the battle for the gospel today, I think that we can learn something about what it is that we should be as we serve God in this day and generation. What is Paul concerned to pray for? Well, the first priority that Paul had is for the declaration of the mystery. The declaration of the mystery. He wants people to make supplication for all saints and for me, he says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And the thing that Paul is concerned with is the declaration of the mystery of the gospel. So the job of the church and the job of the man of God is to make sure that the mystery of the gospel is made known. But what is this mystery? I want you to notice that the mystery is revealed. What does it mean, the mystery of the gospel? Well, I want you to see what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that the gospel is mysterious or shrouded, or that it is a kind of a mystical thing. We think of the word mystery today in the sense of a puzzle that needs to be solved. We think of about it as something that is shrouded, that needs to be made known. But in the Word of God, the mystery is always something that the mind of man could not grasp on his own, but has been made known in these days through the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard Martin Lloyd-Jones tell about a young preacher he heard once, a young ministerial student. And he got up in the pulpit and he began to speak about the mystery of the gospel. And he said, well, the gospel is something then that we can't really define. He said those that try to define the gospel and put it down in creeds or in theology or in confessions of faith, he said they're wrong, because you should never try to define something that is a mystery. Well, of course, the young man was fundamentally wrong in what he thought. He was one of those that is prejudiced against creeds and confessions of faith. But his understanding of the word mystery that Paul here is not something ethereal or something that has no definition. Paul describes the mystery of the truth, and he says here that he wants to make known the mystery of the gospel. So it is something that can be made known. And the job of the preacher then is to make known this mystery of the gospel. And it is something today that the pulpit needs to declare. We are declaring the mystery of the gospel. And it is something that is revealed today in the precious Word of God and through the Lord Jesus Christ. But having said that the mystery is revealed, I want you to realize also the mystery is real. I want you to realize that there is something about the gospel that's always surprising. There's something beyond our understandings at times. You see, this is about God and about God's ways. And there are things that we could never understand by our own intellects or by our own minds. And indeed, there are things that we will never understand because he is God and we are his creatures. But you think right back to the beginning and you recognize that there was always a surprise about the gospel, about the ways of God. You think about a way in the beginning of the gospel. You remember how the angel came to Mary and told her that there would be a son born unto her. And of course, we read about what Mary said in Luke chapter 1 and verse 34. It says, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And there is the mysterious, the surprising, the supernatural. She can't understand what it is that the angel is saying to her. Indeed, there are a lot of people still who are questioning the incarnation and the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you remember when Mary and Joseph brought the Lord to the temple when he was 12 years of age. And you remember how Mary and Joseph went away home without him and they lost him. And then when they discovered that he was not with them, they went back to Jerusalem. And we find that he was among the doctors of the law answering their questions. And it says that all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. They were astonished. He took them by surprise. Again, we read about the time when the Lord proclaimed that he was the bread of life. And then he said that people must eat of his flesh and drink of his blood if they wanted eternal life. And you remember, this was too strange for many who were of his disciples. They said, this is a hard saying. And they went away and they left him. And you remember how the disciples, they too couldn't understand, but they stayed with him. And they gave us an example of patience. And of course, they eventually learned what the Lord Jesus meant when he spoke those words. You know, there are many things that are still surprising about the Lord Jesus Christ. He will always bring a surprise. There are things that man's intellect cannot understand or perceive. You know, you think about how the Lord spoke in parables. And you, many people have the idea that the parable was just like an illustration to a sermon. But you know what the Lord himself said about the parables. One time the disciples asked him why he spoke in parables. They said, it says in Matthew 13 and 10, that the disciples asked the question. It says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And the Lord's reply in verse 11 says, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Do you see what the Lord was saying? He said, I'm going to explain it to you, but to these I'm not going to explain it. To you it is given, these things are revealed, but to them it is not revealed. And this is what you constantly find in the Word of God. We read of Paul writing to the Romans in Romans 16 and verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. This thing that was kept secret is being revealed in Christ. And when Paul described his ministry, he said in 1 Corinthians 4 and 1, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. The ministers, those who preach the word of God, are custodians, we're guardians of the mysteries of God. And I want you to see then that the gospel that we preach is no ordinary thing. There is the supernatural element to it. There is the mysterious element to it. And that indicates and shows you, men and women, that you will never understand the gospel by pure intellect alone. You will never, by your mind, you will never, by your brain, work it out. There are many people who have tried to do it, and they've got caught up in the mysteries of all these things. You think of what they said about the Lord Jesus. Never man speak like this man. He took them by surprise. You know, we think today of how you will never understand this in your own. You need the revelation of God. That's why God has sent his preachers. That's why God has sent his word to you. But there's always the surprising element about the gospel. The mystery is revealed. The mystery is real. But also I want you to see the mystery is reliable. Because it is the Lord, it is God that reveals these things. God in his word has brought that revelation, the blessed news of the gospel of Christ, that you might understand and take it in. But I want you to see here in this portion of scripture, we have the declaration of the mystery. But then I want you to notice the duties of the messenger. The preacher is to make known the mystery of the gospel. There is the supremacy of preaching here. Paul asked for prayer, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now this is crucial. And I want you to see that Paul puts this as a central aspect of his prayer. The making known of the gospel. The making known of the mystery. So, in the spiritual warfare, this has to be central. The preaching of the word. I saw an article one time, and I don't just agree with it all, but it says this about the gospel preacher, the gospel minister. And I quote here, burn his eyes with weary study, wreck his emotional poise with worry for God, and make him exchange his pious stance for a humble walk with God and man. Make him spend and be spent for the glory of God. Rip out his telephone, burn up his ecclesiastical success sheets, put water in his gas tank, give him a Bible, and tie him to the pulpit, and make him preach the word of the living God. Well, of course, that's a bit extreme. We're not certainly advocating vandalizing the minister's property or restricting his liberty or putting water in his petrol tank. But I want you to see, I think you know what the man was getting at. He wanted them to understand that preaching is vital, it is central, and we need always to be on our guard against any movement that seeks to undermine the preaching or the centrality of the preaching of the Word of God. And we need to be on our guard against these things because the pressures are becoming all the more subtle, and we can be sucked into this thought and ideas of seeking to bring modern methods and modern ways of doing things. But dear friend, we need to preach, we need to teach what Jesus Christ has proclaimed. We need to tell about the one who came. We need to tell about a sinless life. We need to tell about his death on the cross and his resurrection, his ascension into glory, and that he's coming again. We need to tell that forth in this day and generation. And it may be that it is mysterious. It may be that there are people that cannot understand it or grasp it. But it is the gospel, and it is the thing that we need to proclaim. That's why the preaching of the word and the preaching of the gospel is so vital. We see the supremacy of preaching, but I want you to see something about the subject of preaching. The subject of the preaching is the message that God has given to us. Paul prays here for utterance, and the word utterance there is the Greek word logos, which just means word or a word. And that's actually what is here in the text. It is a word in the singular, not in the plural. So what Paul is asking for is a word. He wants a word from God. He wants God's word. How vital it is that we come with God's word. We have God's message for the day. We have God's message for your heart. We have God's message for your circumstance. We need to have God's message. You know, there have been times, even recently, when maybe I have thought that there was a message for a particular meeting, and I've prepared the message, and I've come to when the meeting should take place, and something happens, circumstances change, and it has been laid in my heart that this message that I thought was the message for the meeting was not the message at all, and I've had to change the message. There are messages I have at home that I've never preached because it has to be God's message, not just standing here uttering things or making a performance. This has got to be God's word for you. I hope today that as we come, that this is God's word for you. Now, you may be wondering, how is this God's word for me? But you know, we need to be warned today. We need to make sure that we know that the word of God is central. And in this day in which these things are being undermined, we need to underline it time and time and time again. We're not entertainers in the pulpit. We're not here just to while away a time. We're here to bring the message of God. But if that is true, there's another side of the coin. Because if the preacher comes with God's message, this is not just an entertainment. This is not just for you to come and to listen to and wonder whether this is a good message or not. This is something that you need to take in. This is something that you need to act upon. If this is God's message for you, then it is something that's got to make a difference in your heart and in your life. So, we notice here the duties of the messenger. But then I want you to see the disposition of the message. He says that we are to preach. But how are we to preach? He says that I may open my mouth boldly. Boldly. In Acts chapter 4, in verses 29 to 31, we see the apostles pray with boldness, and their preaching is bold as well. God gave them boldness to make known the word of God. And as a result, the church began to go forward as it should. We need to preach boldly today. There needs to be a boldness in the pulpit. Now, this is not popular today. This is something, we live in an age where people want their ears tickled. And they want their itching ears dealt with, and they want their ears to be entertained in any way possible. They want a church that's closer to a comedy club or a social club than a house where God's word is declared. And if preaching is unpopular among Christians today, it is even more unpopular among non-Christians. To them, the word of God is foolishness. It's a bunch of stories and fairy tales, and they don't want to trust God. They cannot see any reason why they might come to the word of God. It's a mystery to them. But God has said it's a mystery. You're not going to understand it. You think of how when Paul preached the message, he got people mad. There were angry Judaizers, there were Greeks, there were Jews and Roman authorities, and they all sought to get rid of Paul in different ways, and stone him. They arrested him. They took him out of the way. They did everything. Oh, man hates the precious word of God. But that doesn't mean that we stop preaching it with boldness. There are times when we've got to make it known. Oh, that the Lord might give us that boldness in our preaching today. Not only do we see here the disposition of the message was one of boldness, but it was one of constancy. Not only was he to preach boldly, but constantly. He says, "For which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Now, where was Paul when he was writing this? He was in a Roman prison. He was chained between two Roman guards. And the reason why he was in prison was because of the preaching of the gospel, because he had preached it boldly. He was in prison. And people might say, "Well, Paul, look at where this has landed you. Look at what this has done for you. You know, you need to catch yourself on and stop preaching the message and stop doing this." But here is Paul, and he's in prison between two Roman guards, and he uses that opportunity to make known the word of God. He says, "I'm an ambassador in chains." Even though he's in chains, he's still an ambassador. He's still preaching to these men. And think, or people might think, "Well, if God would give me an audience, if God would give me people to preach to, I'd preach to them. If God would give me a congregation of a big size, I'd preach then." But here's Paul with maybe a few Roman soldiers, probably who didn't at times want to listen to what he had to say, but he's still preaching the word of God in season and out of season. He said to young Timothy, "Reprove, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." Oh, he wants to preach constantly. And this is a day in which we need to use every opportunity we can to make known the word of God. We see something of the disposition of the message. Would you look with me at the desire of the minister? Turn over, just look down there at verse 14. He says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." And then he says, "And for me." He wants them to pray for him. Now, if you notice in the passage, the word "all" there, it's the Greek word "pas," and it is used four times. All. And I want you to notice the "alls." The first "all" is an indication of his frequency in prayer. Praying always. And there's frequency in prayer. What does he mean? Well, just exactly what he says. Praying always. We read in Luke 21 and 36, "The Lord said, watch ye therefore and pray always." The early apostles in Acts 6 and 4 said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer. We remember Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, and we read how he prayed to God always. Paul in Romans 12 and 12 says, continuing, instant in prayer. Colossians 4 and 2, Continue in prayer. In Philippians 4 and 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the famous 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. Pray. Pray what? Pray without ceasing. Now that's what God wants. We need that disposition. When you see something good, what is your immediate response? Do you thank God for that good? When you're in difficulty, when you get into the place where you're in difficulty, what's your immediate response? Do you bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, help me in this place? Do you, when you see God's blessed name exalted, lift up your heart in praise and adoration to God? When you hear God's name blasphemed or reproached, do you immediately bring it to the Lord in prayer and ask God that his name be honored and exalted? This attitude, this constant attitude of being in his presence, that God might glorify his name. Praying always. The frequency of prayer. But then there's the second order. He says, with all prayer and supplication. There's the fullness of prayer. What does he mean by that? Well, he speaks of all kinds of prayer. He speaks of prayer and supplication. We pray all the time, and then we pray all kinds of prayers. We pray public prayers and private prayers and silent prayers and verbal prayers and loud prayers and soft prayers and deliberate prayers and planned prayers, unplanned prayers and spontaneous prayers and requests and thanks and confessions and humiliation and praise and standing and kneeling and lying down. All kinds of prayer. In all circumstances. He wants us to come with that fulsomeness of prayer. And then the third all speaks about the fashion of prayer. He says, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. That's the fashion or the manner of it. Perseverance. Keeping going on. Don't be discouraged in prayer. It's easy to give up. Though the old devil, the tempter, will come. And his first task will be to stop the child of God in the place of prayer. But we're to watch and pray. Watch unto prayer. We are to keep ourselves going. And then I want you to see the focus of our prayer. This is the fourth all for all saints. And we're to pray. We're to pray that God be glorified. But we're to pray for all the saints. We're to pray for God's people. The Bible says that we're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is how the body of Christ operates. A Christian's not to think about just his own conflict or his own circumstances, but we're to pray for the whole body of the believers. But there's one more statement that I want you to see. He speaks about this prayer and he says, in the Spirit. How important that is. We pray in the Spirit. We pray at all times. We pray all sorts of prayers. We pray at all times and persevere in our prayers. We pray for all the saints, but we've got to do it all in the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit of God. We think of what Paul said in the 8th chapter of Romans in verse 26. He speaks about our weakness. But he says the Spirit itself intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And that's one of the most encouraging verses in the Bible. He prays for us. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And you know, would you believe that the Holy Spirit knows what you want to pray for? And he's omniscient. And as you bring it to him, he will answer your prayer if you're a child of God. But one more thing I want you to see, and that is the direction to the members. Paul says, and pray for me. Pray for me. You must pray for your pastor. The pastors, the spiritual leader in the congregation, and how often we're under spiritual attack. How the devil would want to ruin the minister, the pastor. We remember how many are brought down through secret sins or through financial mismanagement of funds or whatever it is. Sometimes alcohol or immorality or all of these things that entered in. But you know, we need to be bearing up those that are in the front line, as it were, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul here, in the midst of everything, has this one thing in mind. He wants the prayers of God's people. Because he knows he's in a spiritual battle. He knows he's in a fight. He knows that he needs the help, that the work of God might go forward, and that he might see God's word having free course and be glorified. No, dear friend, we need to pray. Do you pray? You know, there's a well-known story about C.H. Spurgeon. And one time there were five young college students and they wanted to know the secret of Spurgeon's ministry. And Spurgeon brought them down into the depths of the Metropolitan Tabernacle. I've been in that part. Now, most of the tabernacle was destroyed by fire and things, but this part still exists, the basement of the tabernacle. And he opened the door. The meeting was going on. And he opened the door of the hall downstairs, which is quite a size. And in there, there were his people crying unto God for him. Now, will you take up that ministry? Will you take up that help and cry to God that his name might be glorified and exalted? That the Lord will surround his servants with that hedge that will be kept and protected by the onslaughts of hell. This is a fierce battle that we're in. It's a very real battle. We dare not take this battle for granted or take it lightly. Get into the fight. Get into the battle. Get into that place where you're a prayer warrior for the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that God's name might be exalted and glorified in these days. May God bless you, and we want to just close our meeting by drawing near to the Lord in the place of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee today for thy precious word. We thank thee that thy word is forever settled in heaven. And we thank thee, our God, for the place of prayer and the weapon of prayer. And we pray that we might wield it well in our lives in this day. Part us now with thy blessing. Be with us throughout this day. And help us when we meet again in the evening time. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen.